come. He's going to come with some mighty winds, and he's looking for some men, some women, some young adults that are going to be ready for his coming, ready for the empowerment that he's going to send upon his body. Amen. Well, I'm excited here this day. I was in thought yesterday about 5-ish, 6-ish there in Germantown where I live. The electricity went out. You know, it was out. And Grandpa was in the house with a little glow thing. And I came into the house. It's okay, Grandpa. I'm here. It's okay. He said, I'm not afraid. He just didn't know where he was at. But it stayed off till 8, then 9 o'clock. And it was getting to 9:30. And I told my wife, let's pack up. Let's get the dog. Let's get all our clothes for tomorrow. And because we have a place right here by the church upstairs that I used to live there for 10 years, and there's still a few rooms there available if there's a big snowstorm, whatever, where my family can spend the night here. So I didn't want to miss out. You know, I couldn't come without taking a shower, and then my boy's hair has to be all perfectly in place and calls for a blow dryer and all that. And we didn't have no electricity, so I said, let's go where there's electricity, amen? So I made a shift not to leave it in the hands of maybe the electricity to come back on, maybe it won't. You don't have to call someone else to preach. But I says, love, we're going to make a shift right now to guarantee we're going to be in the house of God tomorrow morning. Amen. And I say all that because there's times you're going to have to make a shift. Or you ain't going to have no juice. You ain't going to have no electricity of the Holy Spirit. And there's times you got to make some changes in your life. If you want to come on, if the light wants to come on, I mean, Jesus does say he's the light of the world, but he calls us the light of the world also. You know, so for any light to work, there's got to be juice, amen? There's got to be juice, amen? And I made sure with my family, even Zuko, our standard poodle dog, amen, packed up in the bag and says, where are we going? And just follow Zuko. So I'm excited that the guarantee plan worked, amen, of making the shift. And I believe everybody here this morning needs to make a shift. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's definitely talking about you. Amen? He's talking about you. So anyhow, but I'm excited. I also, by spending the night last night, I got to impart and share, you know, strategy and so forth. Alberto and his mom lived downstairs from the house upstairs, and I got to share a lot till it got late night, and I said, it's time to go to my quarters. Alberto was like, I was in his me time, and I knew I was. He was standing in the kitchen, and then the poles would go this way, and yeah, Pastor. And then the poles would go this way, and then before you knew it, it was me and his mom in the kitchen. But I tapped into his me time. Amen. Poor everybody go, poor Alberto. Yeah. So if that makes you feel any better, praise the Lord. Amen. In that, I have my little rhythm. I mean, I got a rhythm to every morning when I wake up to be with the Lord, down to the coffee, down to the dog going outside. I mean, a rhythm of all these things that turn all the lights back off that we turn on at night, you know, the outside light, exterior lights. And so I have a rhythm, and I was off my rhythm coming here, and I was like, I'm not in my house right now. But anyhow, it was good to know that we have a leadership that they were downstairs at 5 in the morning that we're praying, getting the word in. And I says, wow, I might open that up to the church, amen, and get into, once again, Alberto's me time with Jesus even. It's just, you know, so we're corporate, amen. Where two or three are gathered, amen. So, but it's just a real powerful time. So when I know they're up here, that they're prayed up, they've been spending time with the Lord. They got up way early, 5 hours earlier, and so did I before 10 o'clock, to be in the presence of the Lord, to make sure what you're getting is not religion, just another service taking place in the city, but that you will be getting the real deal. the uncut word of the Lord that is able to transform lives no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. Amen. And I keep myself accountable to the Lord. So when I'm up here, I'm speaking on behalf as an ambassador of the Lord. I'm speaking on his behalf. The very words that he wants me to speak to each and every one of us that are present here this day and for those viewing online this day. So do not take lightly the word here this morning. A lot of work has gone into it. The preparation, the heat on in the temple of God. There's a lot of things that go on for us to have everything in place where you can just walk in, sit down, praise and worship the Lord, and hear the word. And I want to tap into some of you all's me time and get you involved in the church, because there's still a leadership that are spinning more than one plate right now and making all this happen for you to come in and be able to receive of the Lord. So we're in a theme right now of church involvement, getting church involved, getting involved with the church. Amen. I'm going to open up with a question here this day. And the question is simple. Are you God's answer or rescue? Well, we would all want to claim that we're God's answer. We would all want to claim that. Oh, I'm definitely door number one, Pastor. I'm God's answer to this world, to this church, to this city. Definitely God's answer. That's me. I checked that box. Are you God's answer or rescue? I know that there's some here this morning that are present. I'm going to do my best to make sure you don't think I'm looking at you. That you need to be rescued. You need to be rescued. Not by some woman, some man, some better job, some this or that, but you need to be rescued by Jesus. You got to be, there's some people here that need to be rescued right now. There's even some here right now, present or viewing online, that are on a suicidal contemplation right now within your life. Because you need to be rescued. And you feel that nobody's here for you. You feel that nobody understands. I get it. That was my life at one time. Until the mighty right hand of the Lord rescued my life. And I got involved with the church. And that was 25 years ago. And I came with every problem and then some to the house of God. So here, the title of this morning's message is Left Behind, Part 2. Amen? Left Behind, Part 2 is going to be a very simple message for that you would be able to follow and, you know, apply within your life. Amen? I'm going to read the portion of scriptures that I did last Sunday, and then we're going to take off. Amen? The book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 41 through 52, reading out of the NLT translation here this day. And the Bible reads that every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, that's key, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. He was 12 years old, amen? His parents didn't know what to think. I believe they were happy they found him, but they wanted to rebuke him as well, all at the same time. They were stuck, and they went with the correction, amen? Instead of being happy he was found, they corrected him for being in the temple, amen? His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, what have you done? Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. Jesus at 12 responds to Mother Mary, amen? But why did you need to search, he asked. Didn't you know? I mean, out of all people, Mom, you should have known. And I'm going to get to why Mom should have known. Didn't you know I must be in my Father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. Then they returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, and his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, we love you, give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord Father God. Move this day, Holy Spirit. Speak this day, Holy Spirit. And allow every man, woman, young adult viewing online to know clearly that you are speaking directly to them, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. They went to the Passover festival. I broke down the Passover and the celebration that was to be celebrated every year for all times. Now, it was just not a Old Testament thing, but it was for even the New Testament on the Passover, on the 10th plague, where they were told to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and the death angel would pass over, amen. And it was after that final plague that the Pharaoh released the people of God out of Egypt. Can you remember when God took you out of Egypt? Was it worth remembering how Jesus took you out of Egypt? Or have some of you forgot Jesus taking you out of Egypt? And it was something they were supposed to be reminded yearly, and they would go to the Passover festival on to never forget what God did in a time where they were under bondage and slavery for over 400 years. And then came the 10th plague. The firstborns would be taken out. Amen. And that's when the Pharaoh told Moses and everybody, millions and the animals, they took their gold. So get out of here, amen, and go worship your God. I want to go to verse 49, still in the NL. Let's go to New King James. Let's go to the NLT, please. Give me the NLT. This is Jesus responding to his mother, who thought he was lost, saying he was just simply where he was supposed to be. Too many be in church still lost. You're where you're supposed to be, but you're still lost. No breakthrough is taking place in your life. You're in the place you're supposed to be, but you're still lost. You're in the house of God, but you're still leaving Jesus behind and out of your life. It's one thing to be lost in the world in addiction. It's another thing to be lost in your salvation, lost in the house of God. We're living in end times right now, and pastors got to preach the word. I'd rather have people, some get offended to make that shift and that change than to preach a pretty message here this day on how blue and pretty heaven is and make everybody feel good and walk out the house of God still lost. So the Bible says here in the end of 2, but why did you need to search? Question mark. Asking his mother a question at 12 years old. He asked, didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? And here this morning, we are all in the Father's house. Some just came because somebody invited you, and some are here because it's a must. You must be in your Father's house. 25 years later, I must be in my Father's house. So last night, I left my house to come and spend the night over here because it was a must for me to be in my Father's house preaching the gospel here this morning. It was a must. I could have easily called in as the senior pastor and said, I'll get one of the guys to preach tomorrow. The electricity in our house went out. Boy, there was a time in the world when the electricity went out, it was better. It got darker. Able to get away with more. But I made that shift because it was a must that I had to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? And this story, it's Jesus being left behind, but I don't want to be left behind what Jesus is doing in his house. And because I don't want to be left behind, it's a must that I got to be here, even though I'm the senior pastor. So in the NLT, it says, didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? Let's go to the New King James Version. Same story, same verse. And there found in verse 49. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And the reason I'm using these two different translations, one says, I must be in my Father's house. The other one says, didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Right here today, there's some of you that have come to the Father's house, but you're still not doing the Father's business. That's the revelation of the day. So that's why I'm drawing these two translations. They're simple. You don't have to be saved for 10 years to get it. This could be your first service. I got it, Pastor. Tell your neighbor, I got it. Once again, are you God's answer or rescue? We're living in end times right now. And it's easier to say that you are God's answer than deal with the truth of what's taking place in your life, in your thinking right now. And just because you're in church, in the Father's house, does not mean you're upon your Father's business. When I was in the house of Satan, lost and bound, there was another translation that I was about Satan's business. Night and day, 24/7, whether it was going good or bad, where I was getting busted or just getting out of prison, I was upon Satan's business. I gave it everything till death, over and over and over. I was in the business of Satan. I just didn't stay clubbing on a Friday night and go to work. I never even worked my whole life because I was working overtime for Satan. I was upon Satan's business. CeCe, God wants to use you, buddy. Woo! He wants to use you, son. He wants to use you. But you got to get under the influence of the Holy Spirit to get hooked on Jesus. I've been hooked on Jesus for 25 years now, and I don't want nobody's help to try to get me unhooked. I want to stay hooked on Jesus. It's a good high. It's a high with the Most High. It's a pure high. It's a powerful high. And I can say I am the answer of God in my life is taking place. I am one vessel God can count on no matter what time it is, whether the lights are on or off. I make wise decisions. And decision last night, as simple as it sounds, I made a decision, man, to get to a place of electricity. In one part of town, there was no electricity. In another part, there was. And some of the lives here, the lights are on, and some of the and the people here right now, the lights are out. Your eyes are open, but the Bible says, though yet you're blinded. I love everybody here this day. I got to come hard. I know the crowd before me. I know those online right now. I know what you need. The Lord knows what you need. And too many still wanting to be pampered and loved when you need hard love, Jesus' hard love. Jesus had a few rebukes. He tossed a few tables. He pulled out the whip. And he did it without sinning, the Bible says. I ain't that good. But I'm good to repent. It was flipping tables where? In the temple. They had turned it into what it was not supposed to be. I could give a good graphic illustration, but I'm going to stay on the message right now. I'll give you a loose clue. There was tons of animals in there, which means there was tons of, that's the message, but I'm going to stick to the Sunday message. Amen? When we're supposed to be making a sweet aroma unto the nostrils of the Lord. Too many in the Father's house, but not upon the Father's business. Wow. You ain't leaving Jesus behind, you're being left behind. You're being left behind thinking you're okay. Thousands and thousands, either even mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, left Jesus behind. Not as an adult, but as a 12-year-old. But back then, that was considered an adult. But at 12 years old, thousands of people left Jesus behind. Today, millions of people are leaving Jesus behind. Are you one of statistics that's leaving Jesus behind out of your life? I could see wanting to leave her or him out of your life, but Jesus? And too many times we'd rather stay with him and her and leave Jesus behind. Did you not know that I must be upon my Father's business in the house of my Father? I must be in. In other words, this should have been the first place they looked. When they said, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? The first place they should have looked at was the temple. But they went amongst travelers, friends, relatives. They went to every place in search of Jesus. And the last place they went to search for Jesus was in the temple. In the world that we're living in today, many are looking for breakthrough, for success outside of the temple of the Lord. And you might get it for a minute, but it's going to fall to pieces. Because the enemy's a deceiver. He comes as an angel of light to say, you're going the right direction. You're successful. But are you upon the Father's business? Verse 44, the Bible says, I shared it last Sunday, that because they assumed he was among other travelers, but when they didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. Everybody was looking in the thousands and thousands. They had just come out of the Passover celebration festival. You would have thought there would have been in spirit, reminded of what God had done back in Egypt. But they're leaving, and all of a sudden by evening they found out Jesus ain't with them. They're lost. He's lost. I put here, there's something about finding Jesus at church. I came to church the day before I got out of prison, Victor Rowery, Salinas, California. The first message, big old mustache, pack of smoke, sitting in the last row. Amen. Some of you are going to say, with your sugar mama. And I keep telling myself, I'm going to stop saying that. She might be watching one day, you know. Minding my own business, fresh out of prison, and the preaching would start, and I would find Jesus. When the truth is, Jesus found me. I would find Jesus on the last row of the church, on parole. Going the wrong way my whole life. Mom and dad, through education programs, did their best to get me back in track, and they couldn't. Nothing worked. But when I entered the Father's house, something took place that mom and dad couldn't do, friends couldn't do, the relatives couldn't do, college couldn't do. Something took place in the Father's house that had never, ever taken place in my life. I found Jesus. Joseph and Mary went everywhere frantic looking for Jesus. They went to every spot. And they left the temple of God, the last spot they would go look at, and there he was. They found him in the temple. Not the crack house, not the bar, not hanging out with one of the girls. Not playing hide and go seek, but they found him in the Father's house, upon the Father's business, at 12 years old. There's something about finding Jesus at church, where you no longer have to search anywhere else. You see, when you come into this Father's house and the presence of the Lord is here and the Lord is speaking, you no longer have to go any further in searching for Jesus as Mary and Joseph, as they found him in the temple. The Bible says that they headed back to Nazareth. They were once again able to go forward because Jesus was found and with them. Some of your luck, for some of y'all, gets hard through the transformation of changing in Christ in church. It gets hard because this, we're not used to this. We say stuff like, you better go ask somebody. The gangster comes out of us, amen? Who do you think you are? I've been saved longer. Man, you better be lucky, man. I've been saved, man. You're lucky I'm saved. And sometimes it gets hard being in the house of God in your transformation, in you changing. So when it gets hard, most people leave and they go searching for Jesus somewhere else outside of his house. And they keep going from spot to spot, from state to state, all over the place. Because they keep blaming the spot they were at, because it couldn't be their fault. And they keep bouncing from spot to spot, because it can't be my fault. It's her fault. It's his fault. I know I'm right. So you leave the place in where you're supposed to find Jesus, where you don't have to search no longer. And you can start the process of being transformed by the power of God. I know when I was in the world, being a drug addict and a big dope dealer in the beginning, all the things didn't go the right way. But I stayed to it. I stayed to it until Jesus rescued me for me to eventually become one of his answers, one of his disciples, in this end time that we're living in right now. Question again, are you God's answer or rescue? They were now, I put on my notes, able to continue to go forward back to Nazareth because Jesus was with them. I spoke last time that sometimes you got to go back. They were headed towards Nazareth. From Jerusalem, they were going, and then they figured out Jesus was lost, so they had to go back to find Jesus. And a lot of people come back to the house. Maybe Jesus will be here this time, going to church. He's always been here, and he's never been lost. In verse 50, it says that Mary and Joseph didn't understand what he meant when he said, I must be in my father's house. I must be upon my father's business. Here's mom and dad should be understanding. They should be able to see where their 12-year-old missed it. But the Bible says, but they didn't understand what he meant. How many know as parents, sometimes it's hard to understand our kids? It's hard to understand sometimes the things they do. And they get so hard where you can't figure it out. Why your son would do that? Why your daughter would do something like that? And they lash out and say this and this. Grandpa always says, he goes, when I grew up, Grandpa's about 84, 83, somewhere around there. He goes, my dad just gave a look, and that was enough. Nothing had to be said. That was my dad, just a... The crazy part, my dad stayed strong all the way to 80 years old. He could still whoop me. My dad was strong. And it just took a look. But today, kids are talking back, saying stuff, and the parents are just like, the codependent of it all just saying, what does this mean? And the Bible reads, but they didn't understand what he meant. Remember, he was 12. They were in age already. Let's go back 12 years to why at least Mary should have known what Jesus meant. So should have Joseph known. But let's go back in time. Let's go back 12 years. And that's found in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. This is Mary, the Virgin Mary, minding her own business. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused, poor Mary, she was confused then, she was confused that Jesus at 12. Don't worry, women, I'll back you guys up a little bit. I haven't found a confused man yet. There's got to be one in there somewhere. Confused and disturbed. Poor Mary. Mary tried to think. First, she couldn't understand her 12-year-old Jesus. Now she's trying to understand Gabriel the angel. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Highly favored of the Lord. He goes on to say, I guess she was making like facial, like. Sometimes it's a mind blower that God would call us and want to use us. In the beginning, I say, you got the wrong guy. Time went by and I said, you got the right guy. But in the beginning, when God stirs a heart and starts stirring hope and faith in a person that's gone the wrong way for so many years, and God starts working in that man, he starts working in that woman, he starts working in that young adult, and you're saying, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong person. It couldn't be me that you're talking to. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I've done? And God says, don't you know who I am? Don't you know what my son did? See, it's not so important what we did and what we've done. It's who God is and what he did through his son, Jesus. And that's why many are still confused, because you don't know. And when a good thing comes your way, instead of rejoicing, you're confused. You're confused. Oh. I was forced to come to church. It's either come to church or I can't stay there no more. I'm in the rehab. I got to come here, CC says. No, he don't. He can walk out right now. Walk, CC. Boy, I'd jump you right now. Take a few of those tattoos off you, buddy, quick. Don't be afraid, Mary. We have these testimonies of these big old testimonies of the world, and then God speaks and we're afraid. We fear. We get confused. Clean and sober, we're confused more than we were under addiction. Don't be afraid, Mary. Gabriel speaking, one of them tough angels. The angel told her, "For you have found favor with God." When God found me there in prison, all that took place right there. All that took place, but I just couldn't have been the guy. He had the wrong address, the wrong prison, the wrong bunk. I was under an alias name. I had 14 alias names when I got popped the second time. And they ran them, cleared it all up in court, and I still came out with Raymond Garza, age 26577. So my whole second bit, I did under an alias name. I said, that's what it is. Because God came to me, I was on that second bit. I go, it's the alias name that tripped up Jesus. He thinks I'm Raymond Garza, but I'm not. It's a mistake. I could see that one happen, God. But I'm not really Raymond Garza. I lied to the police officer, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm not really Raymond Garza. So go find Raymond Garza somewhere else, because that's an alias, Jesus. You see, that's an alias. I'm really Charlie. And here we find, 12 years later, time, let me see. Let's keep going. Don't be afraid. Go to the next one. Next verse. The angel Gabriel is telling Mary what time it is in advance. God has a way of telling people in advance before you're ready what he's going to do in your life, how he's going to use your life, and you think you're tripping. God said, you ain't tripping. I'm giving you a peek to what you're going to do for my glory, for my honor. I know you're not ready, but I'm just speaking a word. I'm just giving you a push start. I'm just getting you ready. What's to come around the corner? So the Bible goes on to say, Gabriel, the angel's telling Mary, she's confused and she's just listening. You will conceive, he's prophesying, giving her a word, and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. This is 12 years before she was confused, saying, where were you at? And why Jesus said, did you not know? Why were you searching for me? Did you not know, or did you not remember that I must be in my Father's house, that I must be upon my Father's business? And Gabriel goes on speaking, saying, he will be very great. He gave him the name. He told her that he was going to be very great. And I will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of the ancestor David. And he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. So here, 12 years later, time had allowed Mary to forget the promises concerning her son, Jesus. She should have known what time it was. Mom should have known. Mom should have known. At the time that he was found in the Father's house, she didn't know what to do. And because she forgot, it was easier to correct than see the promise coming to pass. You see, it don't take much being in Jesus to go off the handle and yell at somebody and want to fight. But it does take a lot to answer properly and do what's right under a state of being confused. I have a question here. Mary, 12 years elapsed and she forgot what the angel Gabriel had spoken to her life about her son, what his name was going to be, who was going to be, he was going to reign forever, the kingdom and that would never end. And she forgot. I believe too many times the great moves of God in our lives, we forget. And we wash them out and we keep going forward, leaving Jesus behind. I have a question here. Is time drawing you closer or further from Jesus? Real simple points. You could be in the Father's house today, but are you upon the Father's business? Or do you still have so much business you got to take care of, you know, then you'll have time to come to church? Number one excuse, I'm too busy. Be too busy for me, but for Jesus? Not a good answer. Not a good answer. Not a good answer. I want to give you a few church involvement bennies, amen, benefits. It's real simple. Verse 46 and 47, please. The Bible reads, 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Remember, he was 12 years old. I believe he was sitting with some heavy heavies in there. And he was 12 years old. In verse 46, the Bible says that 3 days, finally, he discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers. This is the part I want you to get. Listening. Amen. And asking questions. See, if you want to be upon the Father's business, not just the Father's house, you're first going to have to listen, because Father's business is being transmitted right now. Jesus, being Jesus, had to listen. Through listening, he asked questions. And I believe too many times we listen to the word and we leave it at that. But I'm speaking about the benefits of take place in a man's, woman's life, a young adult's life, that not only listens, but asks his questions. I have a lot of people that ask me questions. Pastor, why does this happen? Like, why do you do this? Why do you do that? Amen? Jesus was listening to them, and after listening, he had questions. Amen? And look what happened off of listening and asking questions that pertain to God's business, keeping it in context. Let's go to the next verse, 47. So he was listening, asking questions. The next step was that it says all who heard him. So he listened. Amen? He listened. He asked questions. And the Bible says that they were all amazed. It brought understanding. His listening, his asking the right questions about his Father's business brought understanding to him that brought answers. That brought answers. How many need an answer that got to be straight from God here this morning? Too many wanting the answers without the listening, without the questions, without understanding. Just give me the answer, Pastor. I'll pay you for it. He got involved in the temple, a place he had to be at to learn the Father's business. We're not just here to go to church, do the sign of the cross or whatever. All that stuff don't work for nothing. It's religion. You got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You got to be listening here this day, as what I'm saying is very, very, very important, because it's not my words. It's the words of the Lord. It's the words of the Lord that I'm teaching right now. And you can call me at 3 in the morning. I'm there to answer questions for you. You can call me at any time. I pick up. But look at the benefits that Jesus got at 12 years old by listening, asking questions pertaining to his father's business. It brought understanding. And they were also amazed at his answers. His answers. The father's business. Too many say, "Yeah, Pastor, I got a lot of business. I got to take her out. I'll catch up with you, man. I got a lot of stuff going on right now." I get it. I got a lot of stuff going on. But, man, I'm upon my father's business first thing in the morning. I got to do stuff like you guys. But I'd be darned if I'm going to take care of my business, and if I can squeak in the father's business somewhere, I'll do it later. And too many are leaving Jesus out of your business, because you're not taking care of his business. In 52, the Bible says, Jesus grew. He didn't stay immature. He didn't stay a 12-year-old. Because he was where he had to be, doing what was spoken over his life before he was even conceived in his mother's womb of Mary. There was already a plan in motion for his life. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor. I hear so many that say, "Oh, Pastor, I got a good relationship with the Lord." But this next one is important, and with all people. Pastor, I pray every day. Sounds like the rich man when he would say, "I've done all these things." But he was stuck on how to get to heaven, the rich man. He knew his money couldn't build a ladder, you know? And the Stairway to Heaven song wasn't going to cut it either. When you have a good relationship with the Lord, the way you communicate with people will get better and better and better. Is time allowing your communication to grow, stay the same, or get worse? Because I see a lot of people get worse in the church. Being in the Father's house is not going to transform you. I always say it's like living in a garage for 20 years and turning into a car. Just because you're in a place where a car gets parked and you stay in there all the time, not going to turn you into a car. You're still going to be that miserable person in the garage where a car should be at. "Pastor, I've been coming to, I've been saved longer than you, Pastor." And getting ready to close. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. When evening had come and they noticed that he was lost, not with them, the Bible says 3 days later, it says black and white, that they found him in the temple. That means he had been in the temple for 3 days. It was almost like he was in the rehab almost. He was in the temple for 3 days at 12 years old, and everything he needed, even at the age of 12 years, was in his father's house. The right people were there to feed him, maybe to change him, maybe to do whatever mom and dad would do, and even better, Do you know that you got help in this church that's probably better as a parent that you can do that we can help you? Do you not know that we have a gang? God's anointed now generation. If you have young adults that thing they're having in Mexico, it's a one time where your child can be transformed in one session. On Tuesday, we have our great leadership is running where it's growing with a bunch of 12-year-olds. Oh, they can't be used yet. They're only 12. My boy's 12. He had a sore throat today. He says, Dad, can I just put my street clothes on? I said, yeah, son, put your street clothes on. Because he had his tie and everything. He went. The church is designed. We've been here now for a minute. And we have what you may not have at the house for now. And we want you to trust us with your children to bring them to church. I'm not going to use no names or anything, but a lot of those kids are getting broken in the presence of the Lord. They may not know what's taking place, but God does. Where they're getting hammered at 11, 12, 13 years old, broken. Because it's a must that they be in their father's house. But at this day and age, 12 years old don't make you an adult. Even though 12-year-olds are doing adult actions. Back in Jesus' day, 12 years old, you were considered an adult. But we have a place where you can bring your young adults. I want to say youth, but they get mad if I call them the youth. Don't call us youth. It sounds like, you know, boogers running and all that stuff. Youth. Youthy, bratty little kids. That's what they come in. At the beginning, like, then they become young adults with a call and a purpose upon their lives. Mom, Dad, surrender that child to the church. Let us mother them. Let us father them. Let us raise them up in the ways of the Lord, in the business of the Lord. And as you keep coming to church, mom and dad, and you're growing, then you can give it to them at the house, and we give it at the church, and it's more. 3 days later, they found them in the temple. Jesus at 12 was kicking it with the big guns. 3 days later, there's a sister right now that has gone through everything, probably at 11, 12 years old, everything in the book that you can imagine that could take place in an innocent life. I mean, way beyond drug addiction, prison, way beyond that stuff. And I was speaking to one of the leaders, and Pastor, she's getting it. She looks different. She's getting it. And God's slowly healing her without her even knowing it. She's being slowly healed by the touch of the Father, slowly worked with, slowly being showed that she is loved, that she can be loved, slowly but surely being showed. Slowly but surely being showed, even though she's encountered all this devastation in her innocence, that God still has a purpose for her, a call for her life. And God's still wanting to use her. The Bible says, where sin abounds, the grace of God abounds even the more. There's no amount of sin that can stop God's grace and mercy from changing and calling any man, any woman, and any young adult. Getting involved in the church, as the worship team makes their way, please. Whether you're the answer, we need you to get involved in the church. Whether you're even the rescuee, like the rescue dogs, they're really pushing getting rescue dogs. Amen. I watch a lot of dog shows. I know a lot about dogs. And some of the best, you know, guard dog help dogs and for people and the soldier, the guy goes and gets them from the dog pound. Yeah, he's got it. He's got it. He looks at him. They got to look at him. He goes like this. The dog just like this. He says, nope, not the one. He just goes cell by cell. And he goes like that to every dog. And if the dog goes like that, it can be a mutt, a summer dog. Has some of this, some of that. It can be all that. And the dog goes like that, and I want that one. And he trains these dogs to be the best dogs. That's what God's doing with us right now. He loves using the underdog to show how great he is. It don't matter how messed up we come in, it just showcases God just at another level. And what the enemy has done to some of the lives present and viewing online right now on how big and how powerful our Father is. But it's a must in being at the Father's house. It's a must. And once you learn it here, the must gets learned here, then a conviction comes upon a man's life, woman's life, young adult's life, a parent's life, where it's a must that the Father's house be in your house. Because that's a place 7 days a week, not once a week. And it happens here at the church where God starts the good work that His Word says that He shall finish to the day of His coming. To where you're convicted to saying, here, everybody's looking when you pray, it's a corporate prayer. But when it's just you and God, it's when slowly but surely you're getting it. Nobody has to be looking, just God. There's no greater place, that secret place, in spending time with the Lord today. I've been in Germantown like 3 years, give or take. I came back to the old place, my old office, that I was there for over 10 years in that spot. It's all messy in there. It's bad. It's because I moved out and I didn't finish the process. It's all messy. I really don't care. My other one's really nice and neat. And once again, I was sitting in the chair when we first got this building, sitting at the same oak desk and saying, God, you are good. You are good, God. You're a big God. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for allowing me to grow, to become an answer, Lord Father God, that you can use in this day in life of question after question with all the political, the sharpest people in the world fighting on TV and making each other look like fools. We need God. We need God. We need to not only be able to find God in His house, but we need to be able to find God in our house. It's what separates the boys from the men. It's what separates the girls from the women. Where He becomes a priority. Not just at church, but in the place you live. Because the kids are watching. Every time my little Elias comes in, daddy's praying. Every time grandpa walks in and out, he sees me praying. One day it'll mean something to somebody that's watching you pray. One day it'll mean something as we stand this day. I believe we have a group of people here this day that we need Jesus. Not one of us in here got it all together. We really don't. On a good day. That's why every day we need to be with Jesus. Every day needs to be Sunday. Whatever the song is, love, whatever the song is.